Hello, and welcome to Theology-ish. I am one of your hosts, Ryan, joined as always by my co-host, William.
Hey, that's me.
And hey, William, today's a special day. You know why?
Why is it a special day, Ryan?
We've got a guest, William.
We do? Where?
He's sitting right in front of you.
Yes.
Today, we are speaking on a topic that we are not all too familiar with, so we decided to call in the cavalry, and I have called in a mutual friend of ours, Kurt. Kurt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, what kind of church group are you part of? What do you do?
I'm actually Baptist and belong to Lighthouse Baptist over in Xenia.
Okay.
And I am retired from the base, and I've just had a kind of a, not a fascination, but an interest in the Mormon faith since I was a kid. I think I read the Book of Mormon when I was 11 years old for the first time. And I have several friends that are very dear friends of mine in the LDS community. I wanted to learn more so I could witness to them about their faith and the differences in our faith. That's kind of my background with Mormonism. I've been to a couple of dozen temples, and I went to D.C. to the temple in D.C. last year when it was open. Beautiful architecture. Love going to the temples because I appreciate architecture too.
Awesome.
All right.
Cool. Kurt, it is a running tradition on this show that whenever we have a guest, we ask them a question. So feel free to answer this however you'd like.
Okay.
But if you had to pick one theologian or Christian author that you would say is your favorite, who is it and why?
An author. I do like Vody Bachum a lot. He is a, you all know him.
I'm familiar with the name. I've never read his works, though.
He is a minister, I think, currently in Africa. I was supposed to go to Israel with him for the past 2 years, and your parents and I got on the boat October 7th in Amsterdam.
Yes.
And it's funny how I met your parents, too. I'd say Vody Bachum and Nabil Qureshi. Are you familiar with him?
Not familiar with that, no.
Wonderful book about Islam. And he had a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus.
I have heard of that book.
Amazing book.
Okay.
Amazing book.
Yes, I wasn't familiar with the author's name, but I have heard of that work before.
If you get a chance, read it, because it is. I tell everybody to read it. And instead of viewing the Muslims as our enemies, they're actually a great missionary field.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
So you're a man of stalwart Christian faith and varied curiosities about
absolutely
about others and how they grope about to find God, as it were.
Yes. I have a great book here if anybody's interested in the topic. It's called One Nation Under God's A History of the Mormon Church, and it's by Richard Baines. And it goes in, it shows pictures of his original seer stones. Are you familiar with the seer stones?
Yeah, no? Familiar okay. with the seer stones.
I don't know if you know this. He used it before he developed the religion of Mormonism. He and his family used to do gold seekers on property. They would go on people's property, and he would use his seeing stones to find buried treasure, because that was a big thing back in the 1800s.
Quick question. Did it work?
It did not work.
It did not work. So he would charge people to use his stones to find buried treasure and then find nothing.
But he used it to translate the Golden Tablets into the Book of Mormon.
If you're Mormon and listening to this, I'm sorry. We're about to make fun of you for an hour. not in mean spirits, but...
Yeah.
We're not fans.
No, we've got problems.
Their beliefs.
Mormon people, the ones I've met, are some of the friendliest people I have ever had the pleasure of speaking to.
And will do anything. I mean, I know that if I needed friends, that they're kind of trying to go away from the Mormon nomenclature, but they would do anything for you. My father became ill with heart issues and had to be rushed to the hospital. It was harvest time for my dad's garden. My friends Dean and Linda Bruner came over to my parents' house, picked the vegetables, took them home, canned them, and brought them back.
And, very kind.
Yeah, very kind.
Which has been my experience with the Mormon people that I've worked with and interacted with.
Yeah, so that's just to say that we as Christians have theological beef with your religion. So if you're Mormon...
And its founder.
Yeah, so you may not like listening to this if you're Mormon. Sorry, find something else to listen to.
Oh, no,
I
absolutely hope that they listen to it. Some of the bishops have said this. The internet is very scary for the Mormon elites, the leaders, because people can look stuff up now and they will find the errors quite quickly if they do some research. The only thing is that when a Mormon finds something that is incongruent to their way of thinking, they're told, put it up on the shelf. There's a shelf in our minds. We put it in the shelf, forget about it. So,
what a thing that is.
Huh, it truly is.
Yeah,
just put it away in a box, ignore it. Don't ask those questions.
Some of your education background is in counseling.
I have master's in counseling.
So as a master in counseling, how does the idea of taking certain thoughts and putting it on a shelf in your mind to ignore in perpetuity, how does that strike you, master of counseling?
It doesn't usually work in the long run because it causes great angst in one's psyche.
Mm.
Because they'll know. In 1978, that's when the blacks were finally given priesthood endowments. Mm-hmm. There's some innate racism in the Mormon faith from its very founding. Do you know much about pre-existence? Blacks were cursed.
Yeah.
And so the biggest curse of all was to have black skin. White skin was the preferred. So the brown skin people were less cursed than the black people. Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into it.
How about 3 minutes go over the history of Mormonism and then 5 minutes to go over the big doctrinal points?
Okay.
And then we'll
get into the weeds.
Do jazz from there.
Well, Joseph Smith and his family were from Elmira, New York. And he grew up there. And at the age, there's different counts. The age of 14... I believe he was Methodist, and he went into the woods. He wanted to pray, Lord, which church is right? Which one is the true church? And he had an account that Jesus came and told him that they were all cursed, none of the churches. And so he was given the golden plates as a revelation to fix what had been taken out of the Bible. He started getting followers in New York. His family was not well respected in that area. They were kind of ne'er-do-wells, and he was kind of a chief ne'er-do-well in his family and known from everybody that he encountered. He was quite lazy as well, but he was also charismatic. Dangerous combination, because he would go and try to find gold and he wouldn't help dig it himself. He would have the people that were with him dig it, but except for the golden plates. He was the only one that saw the golden plates. He was he left New York and came to Kirtland, Ohio. Have you all been to the temple there in Kirtland?
I have not.
No.
Really interesting. It was previously owned by the FLDS, which was an offshoot of Mormonism. And the Mormons just bought the temple back from them last year, I believe.
Okay.
And so he wound up in Kirtland, Ohio. Lou was there for a while. There's a community there where they have saved all of the houses and the... of the people there. He got into some trouble in Kirtland and then had to move on and moved on to Nauvoo, Illinois. It didn't end well. He started having an army in Nauvoo and started going against the Constitution of the United States and wanted to develop his own army and his own militia. And it didn't end well for him. And he was martyred in a jail in Illinois. And then other people took over for him. They kind of got kicked out of that area and moved out west. So it's kind of the history of the church.
So what I gathered from that is people didn't like Joseph Smith very much. He got kicked out from town to town.
He was actually tarred and feather, too. I mean, you hear of people being tarred and feathered.
So he got kicked out from town to town and then eventually got killed in prison for trying to start his own militia, essentially.
He and his brother, yeah.
What a crazy story. I mean,
it truly is. It's actually a fascinating background into manipulation.
Well, now I do want to ask, because correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is even though Joseph Smith is the founder, Mormonism is named after another guy, right?
Mormonism is actually named after the Angel Moroni.
Okay.
Who showed Joseph Smith the golden plates, where they would be. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
I believe it's pronounced Moroni. Is it?
That's a, and Moroni is actually on the instead of a church steeple with mm-hmm. a cross on it. The, every Mormon meeting place has the angel Moroni on top of it with his trumpet.
Interesting.
So was it Christ that came to him, or Moroni, or does it vary depending on the account?
Well, there are different accounts, and
that could be a bit of a problem in our founding narrative.
What's that?
I mean, I'd rather get a revelation from Christ than an angel.
Well, and if you've got one group of Mormons over here saying it was Christ and another one over here saying it was the angel Moroni, like, that's a problem for continuity's sake. It can only be one or the other, right?
And I'm not being particularly charitable with that because I don't feel like being charitable.
He actually, in 1832, I have to take my glasses off to see my notes. His first one was 1832. He was 15, 16 years old. He couldn't remember exactly. And I would think if you had an encounter with a holy person, you would that kind of make an impression on you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But there were mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different versions from 1832 until 1841 of who was actually in the first encounter.
So Joseph Smith couldn't remember if it was Jesus or Moroni.
Oh, no. I mean, it went from Abraham, and Moses was there in Kirtland, in the Kirtland Temple. He was actually, there is a, and I encourage people to go there. I mean, because just to familiarize yourself with the LDS history, there was a curtain, and he went behind the curtain, and celestial beings, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all appeared to him. And revealed further things for Joseph.
Even ignoring how absurd this might seem, my question is, what qualified Joseph Smith to be this special guy, this big prophet who gets these incredible visions and visitations from holy beings? What sets Joseph Smith apart from the rest of us?
Yeah, does he do any miracles? Does Joseph Smith have any proclaimed miracles?
He does not.
So what makes him any different than the rest of us?
Because God chose him to reveal, to have the revelation, and to establish. Because according to Joseph Smith, the Bible had been taken, and in the Mormon book, they actually have a, it was revealed to him, and so he was, by God, shown where the golden plates would be, so he was also able to interpret the golden plates using his seer stones.
His miracle would have been the golden tablets, essentially.
He was the reveler. So
yeah. The problem is he's the only one who saw them.
He was the only one that saw
them. Can't prove they were ever there.
And one guy who did believe him took some of the pages that he had transcribed with Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith is having his face in the hat with the seer stones. And this guy is transcribing what was in the book that had been taken out. And this guy takes some of the paperwork home, shows his wife, because he's very excited about this new revelation. And she says, well, I'll just keep these. And if he can do this, then why don't you go back and have him transcribe these to us, which, of course, he could not do because he couldn't remember all he had said.
Uh-huh.
So, it's astounding that people just believed. I mean, I guess that was his charm, that they believed the things that he did. And if you are LDS and I have made mistakes, please let me know, because I'm not an expert in the LDS faith, but
so Joseph Smith has some red flags.
Smith has huge red flags.
We'll be as charitable as we can and say that there's plenty of flaggage going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't have the internet. And so people in Ohio would not have known some of his shady dealings in New York.
Yeah.
So they didn't know about his past. But the things that they did start to find out is that he was a great womanizer.
Mm.
And Joseph Smith had 34, I believe, wives.
Now,
in the end, and his youngest was 14, so he was also a pedophile.
This is a common thing I see today, and I can never quite tell if it's just a joke or if people are actually serious, but Does the Mormon church still allow the whole multiple wives thing? Is that a part of their religion still?
And the reason is okay. because in order to gain statehood, they had to give up polygamy.
Okay.
So then there was a revelation. We are no longer to do polygamy because...
Of course, because it's no longer convenient.
Exactly. It was no longer convenient. They were able to join the states. And so that was one of the reasons.
Okay, because to this day, I see people joking about Mormons taking multiple wives, that kind of thing. And,
well, they are not Mormons, but like the FLDS. There are sects of Mormonism, just like offshoots of Protestantism.
Sure.
But they do allow, like, Sister Wives, I think, is a TV show that shows mm-hmm. the multiple wives.
Well, he had multiple wives. I think they all left him except one.
Emma, his first wife, Emma did leave. And she was one of the, she and I think her oldest son, Joseph Smith Jr.
Sister Wives. The Sister Wives have all divorced the guy.
Wow. Have they all?
Except one, I think. Still with
him. I don't watch that show. I think it's repulsive.
Me too. I just happen to know they've all divorced him because I heard about that. And I was couldn't happen to a nicer guy because the guy was icky. Yeah. But Joseph Smith's wives also left
Joseph
him.
Smith's, well, it wasn't. He made them think about their salvation and their eternal glory was on the, it was important for them to do whatever he said, because he could say, if you don't do this, you can't attain the third celestial kingdom. And that's important for the third celestial kingdom. If you're a good and faithful Mormon, you get to go to the third celestial kingdom.
Which is better than the first or second celestial kingdom.
Which are really good. I mean, even the first one that we will go to is really good compared to the third.
You know, I don't...
That's why I thought... And the only time... That was my thought. And because after we die, we get another chance for salvation. Because you can pray for... And you can also baptize for the dead.
Yeah.
They do that. In the churches too, you can be baptized by proxy. You can be married by proxy, but if you die and go to the third celestial kingdom, you're in like a school to find out how to become God and Mrs. God of another world.
Mm. Okay. Which is a great time for us to segue into the doctrines of the Mormon Church.
Yeah, so Joseph Smith starts translating some stuff, supposedly, and claims there's some stuff missing from Holy Scripture.
Yeah.
And that's what eventually becomes the Book of Mormon, yes? So
yes.
What's the Book of Mormon? What's in there? What is it that they actually believe?
What's in the Book of Mormon? I believe we talked before, mm-hmm. and in the Book of Mormon is basically a history of the of Jesus revealing himself to the Native Americans, and
who are slightly less cursed than people in Africa.
Yes,
still cursed though, because
still
they're
cursed. Yes, Chinese, Native American, but there were the Nephites, mm-hmm. named after Nephi, their prophet. And the Jaredites, that were the really bad ones. And the funny thing is there were great battles and great in the Book of the Mormon, he talks about different places, geographical places, and even animals and stuff that were never in the North America.
How strange!
Yeah, and there's actually the Mormon faith. They have no archaeological or transcripts, histories of the, because he said our Bible was corrupted back shortly after Christ died. And so for a long time, it's been corrupted, and that's why he came along to fix it again. But there's no history. But we have a ton of history of the Bible. And in the Mormon church, they talk about the telephone game, mm-hmm. whispered to one person, mm-hmm. whispered to another. That's what they think about the Bible. What happened with the Bible? The telephone game back then, but which of course they wouldn't have called it that.
Quick question. If that's their concern, what's to stop the same thing from happening with their book?
Corrupted? Well, yeah. they say, and a lot of religions say this, is that it is divinely inspired, but it has been corrected again and again and again and again. But where you can take our Bible now and you can look at transcripts from the Dead Sea Scrolls and see that it's the same. Yes. There might be a few passages here and there of or is, but it's basically the same.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's dig into the doctrine a little bit. What is it that they believe? How does that affect the way they practice their faith?
Yeah, let's say an elevator pitch of the Mormon religion.
The pitch, if I were trying to convince somebody,
sure.
Family for eternity. You are always tied to your family for all of eternity.
What if my family sucks?
You know what? Yeah, there's that. But you are sealed in the temple. That's one of the sacraments that the Mormons do, that they will seal you for eternity with your spouse. Marie Osmond was married to another Mormon, and she divorced him. So, and it's expensive, and it takes some time to get unsealed to your spouse. But they believe in baptism for the dead. They believe in the three levels of heaven: the celestial, the terrestrial, and the telestial. Telestial is a made-up word, and even Mormon apologists will say it's new logo, which means new word. So he just made up a word for one of the levels of heaven, and in order to go to the third, the highest level of heaven, you have to be a Mormon with good standing, with your temple endowments. Family is a big thing. That's, I respect them so much for their focus on keeping family together and to do good works.
Sure.
Except that it's a work-based salvation. So
now, something I'm gathering from this is I'm noticing a very large difference between what sets that apart from our faith, which is a really big part of the Christian faith is the bodily resurrection. After we go to heaven, right? There's the bodily resurrection with the new heaven and the new earth. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that appears to be missing here in the Mormon faith, where there is no new heaven, no new earth, no bodily resurrection. It's you go to whichever level of heaven and spend eternity there.
Right. And then you start having sex with your spouses in order to have spirit children to inhabit your new...
Oh,
yes.
So it's a sex cult too.
It is.
That's
the difference.
That's new for me. I haven't heard that one before.
The difference also between our Jesus and the Jesus of the Mormon faith is that Jesus was in the preexistence. It's not a triune God. It's three different gods. So Mormons are polytheistic. And,
yeah, because Mormons will style themselves as Christians.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And that's only happened in the past 15 years.
Really?
Before, they were absolutely said that we are not Christians. We are separate from Christians.
And, interesting.
And even my Mormon friends will say, well, of course we're Christians. We even have Jesus Christ in our name. And, when I'm in a garage, that doesn't make me a car.
Right.
You know, so...
But now, apparently, Mormons style themselves
absolutely
as Christians.
Absolutely. They say we are a Christian sect, but they are absolutely, from their beginning, they were anti-Christian because we were the church of Satan. And so they threw the first barbs at us. Dang. So when somebody says...
So do they still have Satan as part of their...
Satan is actually the brother of Jesus. He was the spirit brother of Jesus.
That's so much worse. Okay.
So much worse. Yes. It's blasphemy after blasphemy. And so in the preexistence, Jesus and the devil, Elohim, the God of our universe, said, okay, I'm going to have this plan. I'm going to fulfill it with my children, except that my message has been corrupted. So I need Joseph Smith to come and fix it for us.
Pretty paltry God. His thing got screwed up at 50 years after he got it started. Then he had to wait almost 2,000 years to set it right again.
Yeah.
He's not very good at what he does.
No.
But anyway.
Truly. So I've lost my train of thought, but
I'm sorry. I had to get that dig in.
The Indians were like the tribe of Israel too.
Mm-hmm.
They came over on boats, and so they were a lost tribe of Israel. Except that nowadays, as part of their theology, is that they are remnants of the lost tribes. And except there's been DNA analysis done on Native Americans, they have absolutely no Middle Eastern DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another one done. Another concept that they have, like I said, Jesus and Satan were brothers in the pre-existence, and Satan wanted to come down and be like, "Oh, I'll go down and fix stuff." And then Elohim decided, "Nope, Jesus is going to go down and do that," and was sent down. And Elohim had sex with Mary. Yes.
Of course.
14-year-old Mary, Elohim came down and had actual physical sex with her.
Well, because...
Oh, why wouldn't
Of course.
He?
Because then it's not... She's not a virgin.
Virginal birth is just not possible. Right. Of course.
And the thing is, too, is that we'll say, how can Mormons believe this? You don't really find this out until you're in the faith and mm-hmm. you start learning little by little. Because if you knew this stuff going in, why would you want to go into it?
So, sure. So I had a conversation with a Mormon friend of mine once, and I mentioned the spirit brother thing with Jesus and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, we don't believe that.
Absolutely.
They had no idea that that was a thing. And I was like, hey, man, it's your religion. Like, I'm just saying.
Don't blame me for knowing more about your religion than you do.
Yeah. Tell them, Google it. But I think
we did. And he was like, geez. But some Mormon people don't know all that much about the Mormon thing.
They
evidently
they don't. And it's just like, I think of Scientology as well. You don't really know about all the weird stuff in it until you get really involved in it. Leah Remini had a great show on TV. I don't know if you saw it about, the Book of Scientology, and, it's about the same thing where people don't know it until they're really invested in it.
To be somewhat fair, there are plenty of people out there who call themselves Christians who admittedly seem to know a whole lot about the whole Christian thing.
Right, cultural Christians.
Here's the difference I want those of you listening to catch. Christianity doesn't hide their beliefs is the difference. We're pretty open about what we think.
And we have a lot of archaeological evidence of the historicity of the Christian faith.
For the Christians out there... who don't seem to know a whole lot about the Christian faith, I think that comes more from a place of ignorance more than a place of Christianity being dishonest or weaselly. I think that's the big difference to draw here because...
Yeah, and I think that the higher councils, they have different levels. And the thing that I respect a lot, like for disaster relief, the Mormons get together and they have got it. I think we should put Mormons actually in charge of disaster relief because they are so good at it. So another doctrinal thing, of course, our God is one of many gods, Elohim. And he came down and copulated with Mary. Jesus was born to not a virgin birth because he had already had sex with her. And then Jesus grew up and...
So I have an important question.
Uh-huh.
If they believe that our Bible, the Christian Bible,
is so corrupt,
where are they getting Jesus from? Was that part of the Book of Mormon? Is some of that in there? Or did they just go, oh, the Jesus part? Yeah, he was definitely part of this, but they just got it all wrong.
Yes. Well, yes. I mean... They use the Bible, but they also have the Bible they use is the Bible that Joseph Smith wrote.
Oh, so he translated his own Bible.
His own Bible, and he added passages in Isaiah, Deuteronomy to include himself into the Bible, so that and he even named himself that the coming reveler will have a father named Joseph. And he will be called Joseph as well. So he wrote himself into the Bible and I'll have to find it, but he added an entire chapter of one of the books and put himself into it.
And I don't want to be too mean, but I feel like there might be a special place in hell for people who do something like that. Like, just to be honest, like,
absolutely. What does it say in Revelations?
Writing yourself into the that's a problem.
It says in Revelations, anybody that adds or mm-hmm. takes away from this book will have, what, cursed sevenfold?
Yep. I think there might be a special place in hell for people like Joseph Smith.
See, you've been reading your Dante. so what I am most interested in...
I love that book.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good one it's a classic for a reason. Which, the whole thing or just the Inferno?
Oh, Dante's Inferno. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Purgatorio is good too.
Yeah, that's another
underappreciated, but also good. I'm most interested in digging into
the theology.
Yeah, the specifically what they think about God and what they think about Jesus, because I think that those are the places where the differences between Mormonism and Christianity proper shine through the most egregiously. So I would like to dig into that some more. If you have anything additional that you'd like to point out about their beliefs on God and Jesus or...
In our Bible, we're given guidance on how to decipher if somebody is a true prophet or not, right? Mm-hmm. If what they say doesn't come true, then they're a false prophet.
Sure.
If what they say comes true, just like Nephi. Nephi had some... prophecies that did not come true. Joseph Smith had said that the temple would be built for Jesus's coming, and that's what Mormonism is. It is everything is in preparation for Jesus returning, and
so the second coming is still happening, like within the Mormon faith. That's the idea.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And again, not just Mormonism, but back in the 1800s, early 1800s, there was a religious fever in America, and a lot of denominations, a lot of people expecting that their world would be ended at that time. And some of their thoughts were Joseph Smith said that in his lifetime, Jesus would be returning. That's another one. So you can't call him a prophet.
Didn't quite happen.
Because it didn't happen. The temple has not been. There is a blank field in Missouri, and I've forgotten the name of the town in Missouri, where the temple was supposed to be made for, and God's headquarters was, Jesus's headquarters was going to be in Missouri, and it's still a blank field. The Mormons own it, but there's nothing been put on it. That's another one that Joseph Smith got wrong. So
he's not very good at this whole prophecy.
He's not. He's very charismatic, but the whole prophecy thing, and
he's just bad at it.
when the Rosetta Stone came out, and people were able to actually truly translate, they found that his was absolute gibberish. The Book of Abraham to the Mormons, some of the things that he found were in libraries at the time that Joseph could have had access to.
Okay.
And so that's how he transcribed. And people certainly didn't talk like they do in the King James Version, but he made the Bible, even his what he added, sound like thou and standeth and words that you associate with the book, the King James Version of the Bible.
Mm.
And so... I'll look through these again and find some of the chapters in the Bible that he actually added to quite a bit.
Please do.
I mean, I'll have to find that.
Yeah, and it's not just Joseph Smith either, but it seems to be a running thing that people who predict the end of the world and the second coming of Christ are repeatedly wrong.
Absolutely.
I used to go to a church with a guy who kept having dreams and
visions
and visions and whatnot, and he was like, "It's happening, like September 19th this year is happening," and then it didn't.
Of course.
And he was like, oh, "I got it wrong.
Miscalculated.
I miscalculated. Let me go back and look at the."
Uh-huh.
And the pastor of our church took him aside, and he was like, "I don't want to say the guy's name. Hey, buddy, I need you to know." If this was Old Testament times, we would stone you because you have done false prophecy.
Supposed to.
Yeah, he was like, you are doing false prophecy and you are wigging people out. Stop it. And he mostly stopped. He still did it some, but he mostly stopped after that conversation. Yeah, because the pastor, to his credit, that was the exact right response to be like, listen, you can't.
And I mean, I don't remember this because I was born in 2000, but Y2K was a big deal, man.
Yes, it was.
I'm sure.
Good Lord, I'm old.
You certainly remember. William, were you old enough to remember Y2K?
Not really.
Okay. Because you're only a few years older than me.
I'm going to make you feel really old. I was three.
I was
the year 2000 rolled around.
Not even born yet, technically. I was born November 2000, so I was...
Yeah, you weren't even here.
Post Y2K. Wow. Yeah.
I did part-time job at Reynolds & Reynolds for the Y2K thing.
All right.
So I know some people that work there now.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I don't.
They're not I'm too retired. Happy they do.
Yeah. All right. So Mormon theology.
And the theology again was changed. In order to attain there's a term that just escapes me now, but in order to attain the highest level in heaven, you have to do certain things. You have to the celestial, you have to attain by doing good works.
Course.
So it's works-based theology, and you have to believe and affirm that what Joseph Smith said, that he is the prophet of God. Mm-hmm. So there are different things that you have to do in order to go into a Mormon temple. You have to have a temple recommend, which means that you are completely caught up with your tithing, and you're doing good works for people. So. So, and it's not every Mormon can go into the temple. I have a friend of mine whose mother, I hope that she doesn't listen to this, but her mother says she was raised Baptist, but she says the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, is the true church, except that she is a chain smoker, which means she can't get a temple recommend to go into the temple. And if it's so important, why can't you give up smoking in order to get your temple recommend if it's so important to you?
Well, I mean, she's going to get what, like the second realm?
Yeah. She gets at least the second one.
The second one. So, it's cool,
not
man.
Too bad.
And the only people you've heard of the outer darkness, the only people that get sent into the outer darkness are people that reject the Mormons that reject the faith once they have become.
So, apostate.
Apostates, yes.
So, they, correct me if I'm wrong, they also don't allow caffeine, correct?
That's not like a deal breaker. That's not going to keep you out.
Okay,
but it's frowned upon. And I have a Mormon friend that drinks at least 3 Diet Cokes a day.
So what? Shame. What's the logic behind that? If I can ask, why?
Just okay. Stimulants. No alcohol. No cigarettes. No no stimulants of any kind.
Okay.
And
I mean, there are worse things.
Worse things. As you sit there drinking your coffee.
Yeah.
I had one earlier.
Completely dependent on it.
and also another tenet of the religion is to always be prepared. I don't know if you know this, but they're big on
big preppers,
prepping, and I am as well through my Mormon friends. You can go to the local wards. I went to the Beaver Creek ward and learned how to collect water and keep things for. So that I can help my family and friends, not because I believe in what they believe, but just to help my family and friends.
It's
a good thing. And and they're always willing to help. That's why I said I love the Mormon people.
Yeah.
It's their founder I have an issue with.
Now, I've pulled my wife for several years now. It is my dream to have an underground bunker in my backyard that I can have stocked and prepped for World War III. Mm. I don't know why. I just think that's super cool. I'd love to be a prepper. Lord knows I can't afford it, though.
It can get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Hey, any Mormons out there, if you want to help me, I could really use a bunker.
Again, and they prep and stuff in order to help their family and friends, which is a very admirable thing to do. And they teach it, too. Just like there is the Bishop Storehouse in Columbus you can go to. We can go to and buy some of their products. So in that regard, I kind of approve of that aspect of the Mormonism. Their family, the interest in family, that it'll be eternal. I mean, who doesn't want that? I lost my son Ryan as a teenager, and so I would love. And he was actually baptized after a year. My Mormon friends did the ordinances and stuff mm-hmm. for my son so that he could go to the second level of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry.
And that touched me because that my friends thought that much of me that they were doing that for me. It right. didn't offend me at all. I was actually moved by it. So because mm-hmm. they, but I don't believe that once you're dead, you don't get a chance. So you right. are you're pretty much stuck in whatever you're going to be going to or where you're going to be going to, and it's all about location, location, location.
Mm.
So how do Mormons think about Muslims? Do you happen to be aware offhand?
Because I'm
curious because Muhammad says things about himself and his special revelation
yes.
that in a lot of ways mirror what Joseph Smith says. And you can't have two the one prophets, like one of y'all's lying.
And not only that, but there's no evidence. Muhammad was in a cave and he was visited by an angel.
Of course.
And but in the Bible, whenever you're visited by an angel, fear not, right?
Yep.
Muhammad was scared to death. He wanted to kill himself. He was so scared. And Joseph Smith, and he was alone. So there was nobody to right. see what occurred. Joseph Smith was alone when he found the golden plates. Mm-hmm. Nobody see that. And there's no evidence. There's no, we can't go look at the golden plates because they were taken back up into heaven, which is convenient.
Dang.
Yeah. Not even a picture of them was taken. So,
And that's again, a running theme because when you've got revelations in the Bible and you've got, you know, prophecies in the Bible, they're verified by people who were there.
Absolutely.
Like we've got archaeological evidence even that a lot of these things we can pretty definitively say today, like we know this almost certainly happened.
Well, and if you think about it, the Dead Sea Scrolls were not found
yeah.
until what, 100 years after Joseph Smith was around. And so we can use those. We have evidence of our Bible because you can look at the Dead Sea Scrolls and see where the different chapters of the Bible are in there, and even the wording is pretty much the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, I mean, after there's some years. Fantastic archaeological evidence that was done on the city of Jericho that you can look into. There was a book written about it. Can't remember the name. Mm. Jesse, our editor, knows all about it. Robot voice, plug that name.
No, just kidding. It's Digging Up Jericho by Kathleen Kenyon. It was published in 1957. You can't really find the book anymore. It is on Amazon, but it's $700 right now. Oh, wait, no. It's $699.99 with $3.99 delivery.
That's pretty cool to have somebody to do that.
Yeah, but this lady and her archaeological team went and found the city, and they believe it's Jericho, and all the stuff lines up with exactly what the Bible said happened in Jericho. This is pretty verifiable, even today.
Meanwhile, the Mormons say that the Native Americans were running around with horses doing
right. no
stuff,
horses.
And there were not horses before Europeans nope. arrived.
Yeah, nope. So
that's a bit of a problem.
There's a disconnect here.
There is a huge disconnect. And so what they believe about Islam, I've actually never heard anybody, anything said about Islam through the Mormon Church, except that they're a mission field for them.
Okay. Mm.
So...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they said similar stuff about Muslims that they do about about Christians, that they'd say similar stuff about.
Well,
the
their goal is world. I mean, the church's goal is worldwide, not domination, but to have the church spread worldwide.
Right. I have another question for you. Are you familiar with Gnosticism at all?
Yes.
Talk to me about parallels between second century Gnosticism and the Mormon.
Well, both were polytheistic. Gnostics believed that there were tens of thousands of different gods. Mormons know that there are tens of thousands of gods. So the similarity there is, it's funny, I was just watching a video last week about Mormonism and Gnosticism. And I wished I would have watched it again before this to see the differences. But yeah, those are the two big ones, I think, is their the multiplicity of different gods. And Gnostic, I used to think, was the word even was not known, or do you remember what Gnostic means?
It's knowledge.
Yeah.
Basically.
Secret knowledge.
Well, Gnosis is Greek for knowledge, but the secret was silent.
Yeah.
But it was secret knowledge is what they were teaching.
I wish we had an actual Mormon here to we could bounce this some stuff off of.
I don't know any, unfortunately, like personally know any, so...
Some Mormons invited me to go to Mormon church with them the other day at a Barnes & Noble.
Oh.
And if my wife hadn't been with me, I would have totally like talked with them and gotten into it because I was like, oh, we're going to do an episode on this. This is perfect. But she would have been mortified if I sat there for 45 minutes in the Barnes & Noble talking to these Mormon folks.
Yeah. But you mentioned how mission fields... with the Mormons. Something that they are huge on is, you know, your classic Mormon door knockers, right? They're absolutely huge on evangelism.
Yep. Elders
and
at 19.
For me, if there was any page out of the Mormons book that I think we Christians should take, it is their absolute dedication to evangelism.
Absolutely.
What a failure on our part, if anything.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, works. It works really well. They are really good about talking to people and going, hey, you should come check our thing out. And it works. Why aren't we doing that? And I guess my question is, because they're so good at it and because they do it to such a large scale, why do they do it if it seems to be the case, from my perspective, that you don't actually have to be part of the Mormon church to get baptized into the thing and go to one of the three levels of heaven anyway? Right? What's the point?
To attain the highest level. I mean, that's kind of the point to it. And if you're not married, then you can be married after you're dead so that you can have...
So you can have ghost sex.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
So when we die in Mormon theology, and as Ryan said earlier, they do not affirm a resurrection of the dead. Do they?
Like bodily.
Bodily,
no. I don't believe so.
So when we die and we go into the celestial spheres, one of three, we're spirit.
That's our eternity.
And you're eternally spirit. How are you having marital relations as pure spirit with pure spirit? That doesn't seem to track.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, God can do anything, right?
Okay, yeah. So, you got me there.
Yeah. Sorry.
Should have thought harder.
That debt gum omnipotence.
That wouldn't be a good disagreement. But back to the missionaries.
Yeah.
I have such utmost respect for the missionaries too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they take 18 months out of their lives to go to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
They might not necessarily even be that have that much zeal for the faith.
Yeah.
But it is a celebration if your son goes off to mission. That's something that a family would be so proud of in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you get jobs. If you didn't do your mission field, it'd be kind of tough to get jobs in that area.
Mm. I used to work with a Mormon guy who went on his mission to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was fluent in Tagalog.
Yeah.
And
in 3 months' time.
Yeah, yeah. And then he said that he got like malaria or yellow fever or something.
Oh.
Some terrible thing.
A lasting thing.
Yeah. When in like his first month there and was basically bedridden in a hospital almost his entire time, like fighting for his life.
Wow.
Wow.
But he survived and made it back to the States and then got a job at Home Depot.
Good where for I met him.
So.
And he's there now?
I mean, maybe this was 7 years ago. So it's.
I also have a fascination with languages. And I asked my LDS friends, I said, could I go to this learning center? Because, I mean, they are intense. A friend of mine's son learned Korean in 3 months. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. I'm studying Russian and German now, and it's been a few years, and I would sound like a fool speaking Russian to a native speaker.
But, sure.
Yeah, I have respect for that. I mean, you think of the dedication it would take to learn a language like that, and then to go someplace that you don't know, you're away from your family, you're not supposed to have any contact with the families. But, so yeah, when the Mormon missionaries come around, I invite them in. I'll feed them and discuss things with them from my perspective.
You know what that just reminded me of, William?
What?
Just reminded me of Polycarp.
Come on.
You
want a glass of wine? Can I feed you?
The martyrdom of Polycarp, where the people that come to arrest him, he offers them dinner and something to
and
drink.
Wine.
So that he can go and have some snacks while I go over here and pray, and then you guys can arrest me. And then they do, and then they kill him, and it's great.
But what an impact that could have had for the people persecuting him, right?
Yeah, probably did. Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but one can assume that they at least felt bad about it. They were like, oh, hey, probably shouldn't have killed
that guy. Probably shouldn't have killed that guy. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. That's something.
Now, I just recently joined a CMA church, a Christian Missionary Alliance church, which I think is pretty cool because, as the name might suggest, they're really big into missions. They're one of the largest denominations outside of the States, just overseas. They've got a
Christian
huge presence.
Military.
Missionary. Alliance, yes.
That's a church?
I mean,
that's
so that's a Protestant church denomination.
You don't go to your parents... Where you
no, we just recently moved churches, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that after we're done recording. Okay. But so we just moved to a CMA church, but they're really big into mission. So they have one of the largest church presences overseas out of all of the church denominations. I think they're beat out by the Catholics and maybe one or two other Protestant denominations, but they're one of the larger denominations overseas. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that.
So they're super big into mission, so... I think that's pretty cool, especially as someone who sees what the Mormons do and go, we should do more of that.
If a Protestant faith were more like the Mormons as far as family and just being decent people, I think I'd probably join them because of that.
Yeah.
So I have a tremendous respect again for Mormons for that.
Yeah. For all of my disagreements doctrinally, and the disagreements are severe, the Mormons that I have interacted with interpersonally have all been really great people. But, you know, the doctrine's pretty important. So as we're coming up towards the end of things here, Kurt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it flies, doesn't it?
An hour goes fast. So for all of the Christian folk listening... What do you think is most important for us to be aware with as we interact with our Mormon neighbors and friends and have them knock on the door and talk to us in Barnes & Noble?
There's actually a channel on YouTube of this guy who is based out of Jerusalem. Another tenet of their faith, too, that just came to my head is that Joseph Smith said that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. The Old Testament, he will be born in Bethlehem, right? And so... Then the Mormon apologist the Mormon apologist will say, well, it's only 6 miles from Jerusalem, so it's like a suburb. So we just say Jerusalem. No, it's not. It's not a suburb. If you ask somebody from Bethlehem, hey, is Bethlehem just a suburb of Jerusalem? No, it's a city. There are actually cities in between even Bethlehem and Jerusalem.
Mm.
And so, but if you go to YouTube, there is a segment called The Bible Versus Joseph Smith. If Christians want to do help understanding where the Mormons are coming from, it's a wonderful video to watch. Like I said, The Bible Versus Joseph Smith, and it goes through all of the things. This guy sits down with a Mormon apologist and says, okay, let's look at Nephi. If what he said came true, then he's a prophet, right? That's how we have a basis of how to determine a good prophet. And he goes through this with Nephi and Alma and discovers that they're false. Even the apologist at the end of it, he said, it gives me great angst to admit they were wrong. He said, I want to say they're just human, but that's not what the Old Testament says as a way to determine whether one is a false prophet or not.
Right.
Joseph Smith, false prophet, the things he said did not come true. In Nephi said things that did not come true. So, but then he in turn gives the prophets of the Old Testament and what they said did come true. So I think just to investigate, and I think that if Christians want to have a mission field, not to attack the Mormons, because that normally doesn't help anybody.
Right. Just makes things worse.
And but if they want to, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. all kinds of Mormons that that talk about their faith and leaving the faith and why they left the faith. That's why I said the people up top of the Mormon faith now, the internet is not a good thing for them because their followers can look up stuff and say, oh my goodness, this is a bunch of crud.
Right.
Caught myself. Bunch of crud. So
it's okay. If
I think
you say a cuss word, we can have Jesse bleep it out.
Yeah, we've got people for that.
So you can say crap.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah, just take that one out.
You can say the big one if you wanted. No. We would bleep
it. That's about as bad as I get. Again, it just like the guy I told you, Nabil Qureshi earlier, seeking Allah, finding Jesus. I did not have a lot of good thoughts about Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of felt that they were my enemy. Reading his book convinced me they're not our enemy. They are a mission field. And that's how we should look at all of them, is to spread the gospel, because that's what we're supposed to do, right?
Right.
Spread the gospel to people that are lost in a false religion. Mm. And so that's why, maybe that's where my fascination is that so that I can talk to my Mormon friends. And matter of fact, when I went to the Washington Temple, my friend and I drove back from DC back to Ohio. And the entire time I was trying to share with her, and she said, you think too much. Let's think about this. Eternity is pretty much a good thing, I think, to be thinking about.
Yeah.
And if you're wrong, you can be sincere in your beliefs and you can be sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
So, that's where I'm coming from. I like to learn as much as I can and maybe can't enunciate my thoughts about it, but I'm just looking at this. One of the predictions that Joseph Smith had was that Smith predicted that the Civil War would spread to all nations. While it began in South Carolina, it did not become a global conflict. He said that the temple would be for Jesus' return would be built in Independence, Missouri. That's where it was. And that a temple would be built in his generation and never was again. It's a blank yard. And that the coming of the Lord, he implied that Christ's return was imminent and would occur within his generation. And it did not. Mm-hmm. So Joseph Smith is a false prophet just by those standards. If a prophet makes a pronunciation, you can back it up. Did it come true? Then he's a prophet of God, right?
Because
only God knows the future. And Joseph Smith did not. So I think Joseph Smith is a charlatan.
Fair.
And well, I'm prone to agree.
I'm certainly not convinced that he's right.
The tragic thing is that a lot of Mormons, once they say, you know what, this is crud. I can't believe this. They leave faith entirely and become atheists. And that's a crime as well of what they did to people to steal that. Their faith.
It's hard to blame them, right?
Absolutely.
When you've had such a poor experience and you realize that, you know, essentially your whole life is just a lie, shoot, I'd probably want to leave too.
I thought of that too. And,
yeah.
And how I would feel. And think of you losing faith in your religion now and losing my religion.
Yeah.
And how that would impact you. That would be, because it's everything to me.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine. And that's why I try to tread lightly when I'm speaking with my Mormon friends. I don't want to insult them. I don't want to berate them for their beliefs. I just want to share my beliefs in hopes that they would persuaded to become Christian.
Absolutely.
Truly Christian. And again, for any Mormons out there, look it up. Your prophets and your president, Hinckley, even said that we are not Christians. We are far from Christians because they are the abominable church. So again, they threw the first salvo. So
yes, well, we are just about out of time here. So thank you so much again for coming on.
Very well.
It was a pleasure
to have you.
Yeah,
you have a great podcast voice.
You do.
I do. A voice for radio, or right? A voice for radio.
Yeah, a voice for radio. You've got gravitas.
So, yeah, so we would love to have you back on maybe in the future at some point.
Before I came
that would have helped.
No, you know what? You're going to get another subscriber, so I will go home and check it out.
Okay, well, hopefully
that's a good thing for us.
You start listening and
don't hate it.
I can suggest a few episodes that I think are particularly good.
Yeah,
awesome.
But, yeah, we
not
would.
All great.
Some of the older ones are rough.
Yeah.
And again, if there are any
newer ones are rough.
LDS out there that have, I guess they can make comments like everybody does on YouTube.
Absolutely. If you are Mormon or just not a Mormon and someone who happens to be listening to this for other reasons, feel free to email us at theologyish@gmail.com with any questions, comments, anything. We'd be happy to talk to you. We promise we're not going to make fun of you if you're Mormon. We're going to be nice.
And we got an email from a listener
for the first time,
a fellow who is Armenian Orthodox a listener. So that was interesting. We kind of exchanged.
And he lives overseas too.
He lives overseas too.
Yeah.
I don't want to dox him.
No.
Say where
but that was super cool.
But it was great to hear from you, bud. So if you're still listening, we'll tell you just a second. But thanks for listening. Feel free to email us, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And again, thanks for joining us, Kurt.
Thanks for having me.
And we will see you next time.
Have a good one.